Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence and You. We're just going to go right back to speaking with our guest today, Ron Fatula, who is just giving us so much information. And we're really grateful for all of this information. I know over break, Otto, you were mentioning you had a question. So I want to go right to you.
Yeah, I'm looking at this from who the prime candidates right now who should be going full steam ahead to catch up with this opportunity? You know, if you have some money, where do you have to fit in the pecking order, if you will?
Well, a lot of people will fit into this, you know, category of individuals who should plan. Look, I believe that everyone should have a long-term care plan in place. Because of what I do, I went out at a young age and I bought long-term care insurance. Boy, is it expensive. And the company raised my rates significantly and actually doubled the premiums. But for me, it's still worth it. So I don't have to. So I'm not in that category because I have very, very, very good long-term care insurance, about $600 a day of coverage, which is as much as anyone is going to get because I see these things day in, day out. So I'm not in that category. But I would be in that category if I didn't have long-term care insurance that would cover me. I would say anyone that has an illness that they know about, like MS, even at a young age, or a diagnosis of something that might create a chronic long-term care event, I'll just say this, you know, fairly loosely, anyone who's around 60 or older, 55 or older, should have some plan in place for long-term care. Whether it's buying the long-term care insurance, although I do know that it's very expensive. And if there's an illness such as dementia or MS or Parkinson's, you're just not gonna get it. And it's quite expensive, but that's another way to plan or to transfer assets into a trust. Now, we still have a 5-year look back for nursing home care. And transferring assets in a trust doesn't do away with the look back. So you still want to plan in advance because you never know when you might need, you know, care in a nursing home. But most of the people I speak to say, well, nobody wants to go to a nursing home. They want to be taken care of at home. And we never had a look back for home care. So a lot of people came to me, a lot of clients came to me and said, you know, we're going to do all the documents. I'll do the trust. I'll do a little planning, but not a lot of the planning, because I know that I could always gift away my assets and fund a trust the month before I need home care and go on Medicaid right away. And that has been true for decades. However, we now know, as I stated before the break, it's only gifts, transfers, and funding of trust prior to October 1, 2020 that will create zero look back. If you transfer assets or fund a trust starting October 1 or later, you still should do it. Better than doing nothing, but just know that there will be a look back. Medicaid, even for home care, will look at that and see the transfer. However, even if you don't do the planning now, which is such a freebie and you'll be set, period, even if you do it after October 1, at least you're getting that 30-month look back for home care. You're getting it going already. And hopefully you won't need the care for 2.5 years. And hopefully you won't need nursing home care for 5 years. But the faster you plan, the faster you do it, the faster the waiting period or penalty period will be over. But again, all I'm saying is for Medicaid home care, any amount that you have, Not saying you should do Medicaid planning for someone that has $1 million, but by way of example, even if $1 million was transferred into a trust today, Medicaid won't see it, won't ask about it. It's legal. You could get Medicaid home care right away if the transfer was done and the trust funded prior to October 1.
Ron, we talk nursing home or home care, and then I hear assisted living a lot of times. Where does assisted living fit into the scheme of things? Is it anything that Medicaid would cover or?
Okay. Yeah, very good question, Otto. And a lot of people are confused by that because almost all assisted living facilities are private, you know, and you have to pay for it, and it's not a small amount. There are some in Nassau and Suffolk counties, but in Nassau County, by the way, I live in the town of North Hempstead myself, and there are some right here that actually do have ALP beds, ALP, assisted living program beds funded by Medicaid. So we have some of these in Nassau County, and they're actually not bad at all. They're good facilities. May I mention one name or?
Yeah.
Okay. One that I know of and referred lots of clients to, Medicaid funded, the entire facility has all ALP beds, assisted living program beds funded by Medicaid, and that's Amber Court, and that's right in Westbury, right in, I still keep it, Westbury Music Fair. It's not that anymore.
It was. We all do.
But I forgot that the Theater in the Round, right next to the Theater in the Round in Westbury, is Amber Court, and they just reached that facility. I don't get any commissions for saying this.
So Ron, well, do other facilities have ALP beds, but also not ALP beds? So
yes. It's funny the way this works. You could have an assisted living that has private pay and some ALP beds, might have 26 or 50 ALP beds. So I'm not sure how, you know, I only represent the consumer. I don't represent the facilities. I don't know how they get those licenses, but yes, that's quite, you know, that happens quite often as well.
Interesting.
I don't forget, the Medicaid eligibility rules for assisted living is actually not what you may think. It's not the 5-year look back for nursing home care. It's actually deemed a community-based service. So it's no look back if you transfer right now till October 1, or after October 1, 30-month look back for ALP applications in as of January 1, 2021. Wow. So it's community-based. Rebecca, I'm sorry, it just came to my brain.
No, that's fine. That's you know, fine. I just wanted to go back a little bit on when we're talking about the look back for home care. We know what, you know, you had discussed, what are the income levels that people should be kind of drawing down to or putting in a trust so that what are the safe numbers and what's that all based on?
Sure. Well, actually they do it, Rebecca, by an asset level, and you're eligible for Medicaid home care if you have assets of $15,750 or less. And then there are other exempt categories. One exempt category, and a big one, are retirement accounts in payout status. I brought the case that actually changed that law in New York State with the Queens case about 15 years ago. But retirement accounts, such as an IRA, or if you were a teacher and you had a retirement account with UFT, et cetera, all of those retirement accounts are exempt from Medicaid if they're in payout status. You're getting distributions. However, Medicaid always gets their pound of flesh, and the distributions, your required minimum distributions, And now Medicaid actually has a life expectancy chart where they actually calculate their distributions. And for Nassau County, they actually use this chart that creates more income than your minimum distributions by, you know, from the IRS. So it's a little bit more in Nassau County for Medicaid, but that income is budgeted as income. So Medicaid actually looks at your assets for eligibility and then looks at your income to see what you can pay, you know, from your own income to go towards your care. But when it comes to Medicaid home care, we have something known as a pooled income trust. And that pooled income trust is was created by a charity, let's say by NYSARC, or the UJA has a pooled income trust, where your excess income, we call it surplus income, over the income level of $895 of income a month, can go into this pooled income trust and then used on a monthly basis. So you could pay your rent, you could pay your mortgage, your HOA fees, your PSEG, it's not LIPA anymore, it's whatever it is. And I pay it myself. Yeah, exactly. Your cable bill. So your surplus income could go into this pooled income trust. We don't do this in advance. We only do it when we do the Medicaid application later on. And a big question was, are these pooled income trusts going to be good starting January 1? That was a huge question. Just a couple of weeks ago, the Department of Health said, yes, we're going to permit pooled income trusts. But now the water's a little murky here. We could use the pooled income trust, but we have to be very careful on how we fund it. When there's no look back, you could just fund the trust as much as you want. And if there's extra money in there, it doesn't matter. And if you die with the money in that trust and you didn't use exactly all of it, it just goes to the charity. Well, that's okay. But as of January 1, if you use a pooled income trust and you don't use all the income, Medicaid is saying that's a transfer of assets and will create a period of ineligibility where they're going to kick you off the rolls. And they haven't even come forth with clear regulations on how this is going to be regulated. What are they going to do? So we do know that you're going to be able to keep your income to pay for all of your expenses. But we also know how we maneuver the system. You know, when we as a firm do the Medicaid applications and we tell our clients, well, just use the pooled income trust, we do some of the legal work and they're on their own, I think those days are going to be gone because, again, the waters are murky. We can only fund that trust in a very measured way.
You know what? Let's continue with that. We do have to take our final break speaking with Ron Fatula. We will be right back.